Welcome to the Sports Lawyers Association podcast. The SLA is a nonprofit, international, professional organization whose common goal is the understanding, advancement, and ethical practice of sports law. With over 1,000 current members consisting of practicing lawyers, law educators, law students, and other professionals with an interest in law relating to professional and amateur sports, the organization has a wonderful membership filled with experience, insight, and knowledge, giving podcast listeners a peek behind the curtain of the sports law world. For more information about the SLA, visit sportslaw.org. Today's episode is Navigating the Next Gen Career of Sports Lawyers with Brandon Leopoldis and Lee Hawley. Brandon is the founder of Leopoldis Law in Los Angeles. He provides solutions to individuals and businesses in the public eye by utilizing his network and experience of working in professional sports for the past 20 years. Prior to his career as an attorney, he was an umpire in professional baseball, learning it is always important to make the right call. Lee is experienced in compliance, collective bargaining agreement legal interpretation, and business operations. She is in the process of publishing a law review article with the Sports and Entertainment Law Journal at Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law, with the working title, Building a Basketball Arena on Tribal Land. And now, here's your host, Brandon Leopoldis.
Welcome to another Sports Lawyers Association podcast where we talk all things sports law and sports business. I am Regional Outreach Captain for Southern California, Brandon Leopoldis, and today we're speaking with Lee Hawley, a new lawyer with over 5 years of sports and entertainment experience. A goal of our podcast today is to discuss the opportunities that come from what we call breaking into the sports law industry and how those opportunities for career growth may come from the lack of opportunities to break in. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Next Gen Committee. So, Lee, thanks for joining us today. First off, how did you get involved with the SLA? Talk about that origin story for us.
Yeah. Hi, Brandon. Thank you for having me. This is exciting to be on the SLA podcast. I'm always open to sharing my experience and giving law students and new lawyers the fun tidbits of the SLA involvement, particularly with my past 5 years with the SLA. I first heard of them during my Oregon Sports Law Summer Institute 6-week intensive program at the University of Oregon. Shameless plug for University of Oregon SLI program. Our law professors and one non-law professor, who is actually Dan Rasher at the University of San Francisco, were all flown in from across the nation to teach us the intricacies of sports law in just 6 weeks. And every single professor, I mean, every single professor that taught in that program said, if you want to be a sports lawyer, get involved with the SLA. So that following year, a colleague of mine in the program, we saved our money. We shared a hotel room. We booked our flight to Baltimore, Maryland. And that was my first time there. So during that conference, I met Melissa, who is the executive director for the SLA, and I asked if I could volunteer as a law student. A year later, Glenn Wong, who I was a research assistant for at ASU, made sure that I then again reached out to Melissa to volunteer. And 6 years later, here I am working with the SLA in a different capacity.
Well, I like that it sounds like things started off on the right foot. You had some good mentorship leading into where you are today. And I know a little bit more about your career. You had worked with the Sparks. You had worked with the Olympic Committee in Colorado Springs. How did those jobs come about? Did it have anything to do with your involvement in the SLA, or was it just general networking? Tell us a little bit about how you landed those jobs.
Sure. So while I was at the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee, because we are now the USOPC, I received a call from a connection that I did make at the SLA. I reached out to an attorney I knew and I said, hey, there's this job posting that was actually at another organization in Colorado. And about, I don't know, 3 months later, he gave me a call out of the blue and said, hey, there's this gig I think you'd be great for. I want you to apply. And I did. And of course, through the interview process, I was hired at the USOPC and I spent some really good time there. It was a great experience. Now with the Sparks, it was a little bit different. This is more of what you hear when you say just do what you can to break in, that was my first role in the sports industry. There was a business operations intern position posted right out of law school on Teamwork Online. I applied and I went to this group interview where I was definitely overqualified for this internship program. And I didn't hear anything for a couple of weeks, maybe even a month. I went ahead and followed up with the human resources person. And a couple of days later, she got back to me and said, hey, we would like to offer you this internship. So I started out there as an intern and pretty quickly thereafter was transitioned into a basketball operations role with the Sparks, which was a great opportunity and experience to see a basketball op side of things compared to a business op side of things in the front office. I mean, Penny Toler is amazing. She definitely knows her stuff. She negotiated all the contracts with the players, all the coaching agreements.
Well, it sounds like a lot of other career paths where you start in one place and you end up in another, and it's all based on those relationships. And it sounds like you face some of the same challenges a lot of young lawyers and people in the sports industry face, is landing that first job or changing from one role to another. So what are some of the challenges that you have faced in that job market? Is networking helped with that? What are some of those key tools that you use to navigate that job market?
Yeah, so networking definitely helps. I will say it's a little bit harder nowadays to find attorneys that are excited to break the traditional law firm attorney mold. You get a lot of people that want someone with that law firm experience. So being that my experience is not necessarily law firm experience, it's mostly in-house, it can be a little challenging to communicate that you have those transferable skills, depending on what the role is, especially now with the pandemic. And talent acquisition specialists, they're the first line of defense. So they look at your resume, and if the system doesn't say law firm experience, right, you're basically out. You don't even make it past that first round.
Well, it seems to be that that's kind of one of the big things, right? You don't want to be called out as a former umpire. Certainly, I understand that. With some of that that's going on, we've heard problems from some people or just some questions about navigating from the law firms to in-house, from an in-house role to a different in-house role in, say, a different sport or a different capacity. Have you seen those same questions arise, whether they're new lawyers or they're more seasoned lawyers?
Yes, I would say I have, because they definitely want certain things from whether you're a new lawyer or a lawyer that's been in the industry for 10 years. A good example is generally for in-house counsel, they want transactional experience. Unless you specialize at a law firm with that transactional experience, which sometimes can take anywhere from 5 to 7 years to even get there after working in litigation for a law firm, that's going to be what they're looking for. So either you're going to get out of law school and go to a law firm and get that experience, or you're going to be at a law firm for a long time and have that experience and apply for those roles. I do think that your network, though, that's where it helps, because when you can't get past that first line of defense with the talent acquisition specialist, you can reach out to your network and say, hey, I applied for this job. Would you happen to know anyone that could maybe make the hiring manager aware of my application, which helps. So I do think that the network part of SLA is very helpful, whether you're a new lawyer or a lawyer that's just looking to transition. You can definitely find the right people to talk to, especially on LinkedIn once you make those connections. I have a lot of connections on LinkedIn. I try to keep them at people that I actually know, because it seems kind of silly to not be able to reach out to someone and say, hey, I don't know you, but we're connected on LinkedIn. Can you forward this to the hiring manager? But sometimes it works, you know, so.
Sure. Now, it sounds like, you know, some of those strategies are really smart, right? These are some strategies that everybody tries to employ, but oftentimes getting that first step and understanding, is it a good idea or a bad idea, or just having the reassurance to do some things can go a long way. And especially when it seems to be such a competitive job market in the sports and entertainment space, it's nice to know that that other people are going through those same things. So I want to talk Next Gen Committee. We're real excited about this. It's an ad hoc committee with the SLA that we're going to be co-chairs of. So I'm glad to have you on board as a co-chair for this. Let's talk about what that Next Gen Committee is all about. Can you talk a little bit about what the purpose of the Next Gen Committee is so everybody kind of understands?
Sure. So the purpose of our Next Gen Committee is to really discuss with the new lawyers and law students of the SLA, some of the needs to meet our career goals or things that we're experiencing in the current sports market, right? So a good example would be the lack of people in stadiums and arenas now, right? How are we capitalizing on that space? Well, generally, we're using sponsorships. So what does that mean for a new lawyer, an associate general counsel, or somebody that's even legal staff that might be negotiating some of those corporate sponsorship agreements? And is there some type of content that we can put together that meets the needs of these associate counsel to help further their career? And having that voice of the new lawyers is, I think, very important, as well as we are literally the next generation of the Sports Lawyers Association, right? So we are looking for people to carry on the organization and get involved now as much as they can and really understand what our purpose is.
Well, and I'll tell you, I think it knowing that there's an outlet, especially as a new lawyer that wants to be involved in the industry, to be able to get involved with such a great organization at the ground level, your first couple years, while you're still navigating your career, you start to learn, maybe I need to go ahead and do some additional things. And getting involved in the Next Gen Committee is certainly helpful to help get some of your ideas out there, to get involved and get to know other people within the SLA. Let's talk a little bit more about the camaraderie aspect of the SLA. For new lawyers that are either new to the organization, they haven't been to a conference yet, or because of COVID, they haven't been to a regional outreach event. Talk about how that network and how the SLA kind of is in a relationship from a relationship perspective.
So as a new lawyer, I can speak firsthand as to how being involved just even with law students, right? And getting to know them, or essentially what most people would call paying it forward, making sure that I'm available to those new lawyers, because the network goes both ways, right? I may have a connection through something unrelated that can help someone who is currently a lawyer and looking to transition into that role. Or a great example is the law students that I work with at the SLA. I help Melissa with the volunteers every year and the law students, and I'm there as a resource for them. And I say, who do you want to meet, right? What are you here for? What are your goals? And making sure that those law students actually have the opportunity to maybe go sit in on the panels that they want to sit in on, or introduce them to the attorneys that they want to learn more about. Not just, I want to meet you because I want an internship, but I want to meet you because I followed your career and your career is more in line with mine, right? A great example for me is Randy Haight, who started at Red Bull, went to the Clippers, and now he's at LAFC. He, like me, wasn't in a traditional law firm role. And it's really nice to see someone that is currently in sports that took the path that I'm taking. And so really making those connections and having the law students make those same connections, because you never know when something might come up that you're a great fit for.
Sure. Now, one of the things that I find most beneficial about being an SLA member is having that connectivity, and everybody seems to be very open for having conversations with anybody and having the opportunity to, pick the brain of people that are general counsels of teams or leagues and, you know, having a lot of fun in those conversations. So can you tell me a little bit more about how those relationships with even people where you're not trying to get a job, you're not trying to get a pecuniary benefit from, how those relationships help develop who you are as a lawyer?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the relationships that I have with those attorneys, definitely, I mean, the reality is the Sports Lawyers Association is intended to help your career, right? But I think on a general sense, it gives you more of a vision as to where you want to go in life. So I can look at someone and say, wow, that person is great. For instance, just off of the top of my head, Bobby Sue Doyle Hazard, who is now with NBC Sports, she's one of the funniest Twitter people in the world. I follow her on Twitter and I love her. She makes me laugh. She talks about her cat all the time, right? And we don't necessarily have that, you know, network pecuniary gain connection, but we definitely get along on the Twitter, in the Twitter space. And I very much enjoy seeing some of her tweets, as well as she'll respond to my responses. So it's kind of fun, like, to have that association with someone that, you know, when you see them once a year at the conference, you have something to talk about other than, hey, how's work? How's sports? How is this thing? Right? Our thing is more talking about our pets. Like, that's just what we do. So it's definitely nice to have that relationship with other professionals where you're not just talking about sports all the time.
Sure. Now, speaking of that, let's get back to the Next Gen Committee and what we're looking for those that are going to be involved with the Next Gen Committee. Clearly, the Next Gen Committee is for that next generation of sports lawyers. But talk to us a little bit about what type of people we'd love to see really get engaged with the Next Gen Committee.
Great question, Brandon. And you and I have put a lot of thought into this. So we have a great answer. We are definitely yes, we are looking for diverse candidates that are going to bring an innovative perspective into some of the content that we create, as well as assisting with any content curation that may be needed through the process. Some of it might be data tracking. Some of it might just be coming up with new ideas for podcasts that we're going to put out. We just want that diverse and innovative vision from either law students or new lawyers. So people that have been lawyers for about 5 years or less, we'll say, and really get that perspective, because we are the next generation, as I said, of sports lawyers, right? We want to make sure that we're heading in the right direction, that we're getting the needs of our generation, because the stuff that we need is going to be different from somebody else who's been in the organization for 25 years.
Certainly. And so you can get some more information. There's an SLA email is going to go out about this if it hasn't gone out already, for more information on how you can be involved in the Next Gen Committee. So, Lee, I want to thank you for joining us here on the SLA podcast. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm sure we will connect off of the podcast soon, speaking about the Next Gen Committee. So if you're interested in the Next Gen Committee, take a look at your email. You can reach out to either one of us for more information. And if you have questions or you have interest in the Sports Lawyers Association, please visit the SLA website at sportslaw.org and check out the membership. We have a lot of valuable information, including a very versatile membership directory and case information and other updates about what's going on in the sports law and business world. Lee, thanks again, and we look forward to speaking with you on the next SLA podcast.